Well, please have your Bibles open at Exodus chapter 9. Now, we all like to have a little bit of advance warning, don't we, about something that's coming up. I don't know if you're like me, but nowadays you rely on these things. For those of my generation and younger, this becomes our portable brain because it tells us what we're doing. And you can put all sorts of things into the calendar on your phone, and then the reminders pop up 2 hours beforehand. That's nowhere near close enough. A week, 2 weeks, a month beforehand. Something that gives us advance warning, gives us notice of something important that we've got to do. So it may be a reminder to go and see the doctor or the dentist or to get your insurance paid or something like that. Something important, which if you forget about it, then it can cause real problems. There are times when a little bit of advance warning is a really, really good thing. And where would we be without this kind of reminder? You may not use your phone. You may use a calendar or a diary. And you put in your diary, oh, you know, do this in today because it's got to be done. There's all sorts of different ways which we require some sort of advance notice. Because if we forget about things, then there can be consequences. One of the wonderful things about God is that he knows just how people tick, how people work. And he is a good God. And he is the God who gives people advance warning about all sorts of things. So when he's dealing with people, he often deals with them in such a way that there's an advance warning or a reminder or something like that, which just gets them to think about spiritual things and maybe to behave in a way that avoids things getting worse. And this is what we see happening here in Exodus chapter 9, the plague of hail. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been going through all these different plagues, and we've seen that the plagues that came upon Egypt, they come in cycles of three. And God is bringing these plagues on the nation because of a couple of things. First of all, Pharaoh believes that he is a god. The people worshipped him, and Egypt thinks it's the most powerful nation in the world. They think that they are top dog. And then secondly, we see that the nation of Egypt has been keeping God's people, the nation of Israel, trapped in slavery. And it's not like some sort of bad employment. They've been brutal towards them. Remember, the book of Exodus opens with the Egyptians, not just the people in the palace, but all of the Egyptians, throwing Israelite babies into the Nile to drown or get eaten by crocodiles or something like that. Egypt is a very cruel and nasty people. And because of this, God is starting to hold them accountable for their crimes. So in order for Israel to be released from the nation of Egypt, so they can go out into the wilderness and worship the true and living God, God is starting to put on some pressure, and he's using these plagues as ways of adding the pressure. And they start out quite small, a little bit of inconvenience, a little bit of difficulty. And there's a cycle of three, and in each one they get a little bit worse. And then the next cycle starts, and that just takes it up to the next level. It's like one of those computer games, isn't it, where you go up a level and it gets harder and progressively more difficult. And by the time you get to the end of it, you're doing stuff that was impossible at the beginning. The plagues, they're getting harder. Each cycle, they're getting more difficult. And now we're at the start of the third cycle of plagues. And now the gloves are taken off. We have a series of plagues that are far more serious, and they start to not only ruin the country and destroy it, but we also see that people are starting to die now. And while all of this is happening to the nation of Egypt, right there in their midst, there's the Israelites, God's people, and God does not touch or harm his people at all. And this teaches us that when God is judging a nation, he does protect his people. He's able to protect his people. And this reminds us about what we were talking about last Sunday evening, where we were thinking about God's providence, how he is in control of every circumstance. Everything that happens in your life is under God's control. Whether this morning you're a believer or you're not a believer, or maybe you're someone who thinks that you're a believer but actually isn't. Everything that happens in your life is under God's control. And God is able to carry his people through. And when difficulties come, you know that they're under God's control. And the difficulties that the believer may face in life are quite different to the judgments that God may bring upon unbelievers. God is in control. In fact, he's so in control of these judgments that's happening that Moses, at the end, is able to walk into a field when all this hail is coming down without fear, because he knows that God will not hit him with a hailstone, and he's able to pray for the storm to stop, and it does. So, God is in control, and the plague that he decides to bring is hail. Now, here in Great Harwood, we know a little bit about extreme weather, don't we? But I don't think we know a huge amount about hail. We get a lot of frozen rain, but that's different to hail, because you only get hail within thunderstorms, and we only get one or two thunderstorms here a year. Other parts of the country may get two or three a month. In Egypt, they didn't get much in the way of thunderstorms. They'd have had the odd thunderstorm now and again, and they'd have known what hail was. Hail is much harder than frozen rain, because it's whipped around and you get layers of ice forming, so they become like pellets. They're very hard. So Egypt, they would have known a little bit about hail, but what God brings is way beyond anything that they had experienced before. An enormous hailstorm, the worst hailstorm that Egypt had ever known in its entire history. And it had been around for 1,800 years. So with 1,800 years of history, this is an extreme weather event that God is bringing upon the nation. And hailstones can be incredibly dangerous. Today, the worst place for hailstorms is over in India. And there they have hailstones that can weigh as much as a kilogram and be traveling at up to 50 meters a second. So you imagine something which is the twice the weight of a tin of baked beans whacking you on the head at high speed. And they're the hailstorms that we get today in some parts of the world. This hailstorm would have been worse than that. And with it, there's going to be all sorts of lightning and thunder, which are always a sure sign of God's presence and power, and in this case, anger. This storm that comes upon Egypt must have been absolutely terrifying. And it kills anything that's outside. And it also flattens all the crops that are ripening. You know how it is with crops, they ripen at different times of the year, and some of them, they get up to a point, and if there's extreme weather, they die. That's why there's always such a rush to get the harvest in. All the crops that were ready for harvest were also destroyed as well. And this storm, it's so bad that while it's going on, Pharaoh realizes that he's done something wrong. He admits that he sins, and he asks Moses to beg for it to stop. And then the Lord, in his mercy, responds to Moses' prayer and brings this storm to an end. Now, what's fascinating about this particular plague is not the sudden supernatural storm that God whips up, but rather how God treats these Egyptians, this group of unbelievers, and then how they respond to God. So that's what I want us to focus on for the next few minutes. So let's just have a quick look at verses 14 to 16, where we see God saying what he's going to do and why he's going to do it. And to understand what's going on here, you've got to understand this conflict that's going on between God and between the people. And it's the age-old conflict, which I'm sure we've all been in at one time or another, where we're in the situation where we know that something is right and something is true, and then someone else that we're talking to thinks that what we're saying is a complete load of rubbish, and they're completely ignoring us. God is saying he is the true and living and almighty God, the one who has given life to every person, and every person should do as he says. And the other person is saying, Pharaoh's saying, no, the gods of Egypt, we're the ones who are most powerful, we're the ones who are in charge, we're going to completely ignore you. Which is a very silly thing to do when you remember who God is. Because everything that you have, and everything that the Egyptians had, comes from God. So the situation is, you know, God is the one in charge. Pharaoh thinks that he's in charge. It's like that situation when you know you're in the right and someone else is convinced that you're wrong. What do you do? Well, do you get your phone out again, and do you go onto Wikipedia or something like that and prove that you're right and the other person's wrong? I think some of us probably do, because we like to prove our point, don't we? When we're in the right and the other person's wrong, we like to prove our point straight away. But that's not how God is acting here in this plague, and also in all of the plagues put together. We see that God is actually quite patient with the people. This is a section that teaches us about patience. Look what it says. It says verse 15. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But instead he's bringing these little plagues. God could have clicked his fingers and all of Egypt could have broken out with Ebola. And that would have been the end of them. Even today, that particular disease is one which terrifies us, because if it gets out of an isolated area, it can kill enormous numbers of people. But God is slowly putting the pressure on these people. He's putting the pressure on them to give them the opportunity to escape from the worst judgment that's coming, the opportunity to turn back to him. And this is one of the reasons that so many people go through so many difficulties in this life. God almost gives people a foretaste of the judgment that's to come. Something small happens, which is difficult and hard. And that's just a reflection of the things that are going to happen in the future, which are so much worse. Because one day, each and every person will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's going to happen. And, God will say to you, I've been patient with you. I've given you little tasters of the trouble that's going to come. I've given little tasters to you because you have been sinful. You have been rebellious. You've ignored those tasters. You've thought Christians are a load of old muppets. You've laughed at the gospel. You've ignored it. And I kept on giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But now, the time of judgment has arrived. We see this quite clearly in the plagues of Egypt. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse until finally at the end you get the plague of the firstborn, when all of the firstborn people die. And they understood that that was the start of a new cycle of three, which would have ended with the obliteration of the nation. Which is why eventually they did let Israel go, but it had to get really, really bad. God works progressively, slowly, bringing judgment on people to give them the opportunity to repent. And look in this passage as well. Look what Moses is saying. Verse 18. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every person and animal, and they will all die, everything that's out in the field. God even gives 24 hours notice of this plague. He gives 24 hours advance warning. What would you do in that situation? Would you listen to what the word of the Lord is? And would you use that 24 hours to get your animals in, to get your servants in, to get your family members in and undercover? That's what God is doing for Egypt. He's given them that advance notice. And that's a sign of his patience, and that's a sign of his mercy. But how do the people of Egypt respond to this? Well, we see that there's two responses. And the first is that there were a small group of Egyptians, people who are starting to fear the word of the Lord. They don't fear the Lord yet. To fear the Lord is to have saving faith. But to fear the word of the Lord means that these are people who recognize that God exists. And they know that he is powerful. They know that he is able to do the things that he has said he is going to do. So what do? They take the warning seriously and they respond to it, and they bring the people inside, they bring the animals inside, and that means that they are spared a great deal of loss. Yes, the judgment still destroys their crops, but they've still got their animals, and more importantly, they've still got their people. But there's another group, And this other group of people are those who just completely ignore what God is saying. They are people who are filled with pride. People who still believe that the Egyptian gods are the ones who were most powerful. People who are stubborn. And they just go on as if it is perfectly normal, as if nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen to them. And what happens? Right on schedule, the storm arrives, and it is terrible, and it brings incredible loss. And then when the storm arrives, what do? Well, look at Pharaoh's response there, doesn't it? Verse 27. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. "This time I have sinned," he said to them. "The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer." And what Pharaoh is doing here is what so many people do today. Because while life is all rosy and sweet, they behave as if they are the people who are in charge. They behave as if they are the folk who are in charge of their own destiny, in control of their own destiny. And then, when trouble comes along, when problems come along, what do? They start making promises to God. They go running to church. They come along and they say this and that and the other to the minister. Maybe they'll even go and get baptized or something like that. But the second that the pressure finishes, then they go back to exactly how they were before. And they are completely unchanged. They are no different to the people who are all around them. All they want is for the pressure to stop, for them to get their way. And they make all sorts of promises to God. And they will do anything in order to get their way. And then when the plague stops, when the trouble passes, what happens? Verse 35. So Pharaoh's heart was hard and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. So many people behave like Pharaoh. When life is good, they completely ignore God and act as if he does not exist. And then when life is hard, they're back in church. And they're making all sorts of promises. They promise this, that, and the other. But in reality, all they want is relief from the problem. They do not want forgiveness from their sins. They do not want to be in the right relationship with God. People who are in this situation are in a terrible, terrible place. Because why is it that God brings these times of trouble upon folk? It's because he's patient and full of mercy. And he's trying to get people's attention. And he's trying to get people to turn to him and ask for forgiveness before he's got to deal with the problem of their sins. Think about it this way. You know, if you're walking along Blackburn Road there, and you see a two-year-old who's managed to totter out of its house through an open door and is busy playing in the middle of Blackburn Road. What would you do? You'd whip out there pretty quick, pick the child up and carry it to safety, wouldn't you? Judgment is coming for every person. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's as certain as tomorrow. God is giving you advance warning of those problems. How do you respond? Do you turn to him and seek the place of safety and genuinely do it? Or do you make false promises? And then, when the problem has passed, you go back to playing in the middle of Blackburn Road, doing a foolish thing. How do you respond? Are you someone who is like Pharaoh, who is proud and stubborn, and goes back to their own thinking? Or are you like these other Egyptians, who fear the word of the Lord? Because some of those people, maybe most of those people, eventually went through to saving faith. Because when we see the nation of Israel finally leaving on Passover, that time when they go out of the land, we see that a vast crowd of people from other nations also went with them. The group of people that left in the Exodus was not just Israel. There were all sorts of people who had seen God's powerful and mighty hand at work. And they went with them through the wilderness to Mount Sinai. And they were eventually incorporated into the nation of Israel. This is why when you read some of those parts of the Old Testament, there's all these rules and regulations about the sojourner, the alien, the person who's from outside of the nation, and ways for them to be incorporated into the people. Some of these people saw what God was doing. They read the signs and they went through to saving faith. This morning, if you're not a believer, or if you're someone who's not sure that you're a believer, what sort of person do you want to be like? Do you want to be a person who takes notice of the advance warning that God is giving you and turn to him and accept his forgiveness? Or do you want to be someone who keeps on doing anything you can to avoid the problems of today and then you just go back to the bad behavior as soon as the problems are lifted? What sort of person are you? Something for us to think about, something for us to pray about as we prepare our hearts now to break bread together and remember the Lord's death. Because God is good, he is patient, but he is also just and holy. And it means that every time we do anything wrong, it's recorded and a price has to be paid. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to bear the punishment for all those who turn to him in saving faith so that they can be completely forgiven and enter into a new kind of life. A life which is safe, a life which is there on the pavement and not in the middle of Blackburn Road. It doesn't mean that your difficulties disappear, but it does mean that God will help you through your difficulties and you have the wonderful hope that when you see Jesus face to face, for you it will be a day of great joy and worship. Amen.